welcome back to another episode of Bloom Theory Podcast with me, your host, Jillian Choquette. I actually am batching some of these episodes, so I just recorded my last episode. So I don't really have many life updates to talk about. However, I'm really confused by my sudden burst of energy. I'm not really sure if it's because I'm recording a podcast and literally talking to myself that gives me this newfound energy, but I have been so exhausted all week and I'm not really sure why. I think that maybe it's because Joey has been working evenings and so I kind of go to bed late because he comes home late, and then I still have been waking up at 6 a.m. like I normally do. But I feel like it's only maybe an hour and a half difference of sleep, but maybe that's really just messing me up. I don't know. I have no idea. But right now I feel like I have some energy and it's 9:30 at night. So not sure where it's coming from, but today I'm going to do a little Q&A episode because I asked you guys some questions on Instagram and you asked me some great questions. So I'm going to see how many I can get through, and if I don't get through all of them, I'll just do another episode later on down the line. And yeah, so hopefully I can answer your questions. So the first question is a new self-care thing that you're doing for yourself. Okay, so this is one thing that was part of my New Year's resolution. I didn't set many New Year's resolutions for myself this year, to be completely honest with you, but I think that as an introvert, I am normally not the friend that reaches out and tries to initiate a friend get together, but I think that I just get a little bit of social anxiety because sometimes I think, oh, this means that it has to be a whole group of people and I gotta coordinate. And yeah, so anyway, I think that a new self-care thing that I've been doing is just having more one-on-one time with some of my friends. I think that is just kind of comforting, and sometimes I tend to be a little aloof, and when it's like a stressful week or something, I just forget how therapeutic it is to just, you know, go not think about school, not think about anything, and just hang out with a friend for an hour or two. So I feel like that's kind of self-care. I've just been reaching out to friends every so often, or, you know, calling them up or whatever, and just having a little chat, you know, a little chit chat. I think that sometimes that's self-care. That's self-care in itself. I definitely do try to do at least like one night a week or one evening that I don't do any homework or any scientific like writing or anything that has to do with that, and I just be a couch potato and do some self-care. So someone else said, what's your motivation to keep going even when you're tired? So this is a great question considering I've been exhausted all week for apparently no reason. So besides the very obvious caffeine and coffee, I have to say I definitely motivate myself by telling myself that I will get an iced coffee later on down the road, like later that day, later that week. At some point, I have to tell myself I'll get a coffee, or at least make an iced coffee. That being said, that's not really the healthiest option, and financially, I guess, smart option. So I think that my motivation to keep going, look deep down for this one. Okay, if I'm going to be a little bit more philosophical about this, I think that my motivation in respect to school and the difficulties of the PhD, I think that one of my motivations to keep going is definitely just I feel like it's a privilege to actually be able to study and do my PhD. I think that it's always been a dream of mine to be just a scientist and a specialist in an area of research, and it still excites me to say that I am a PhD student, and it excites me to talk and learn about science. And so I think that deep down, the passion for science that I have and for research is my motivation. Not trying to be all philosophical and deep about it, but yeah, I think that's what it is. And also, I think that sometimes to motivate myself, I like sharing my story and sharing content and talk about STEM, because I think that talking about it sometimes is just like reignites the flame, especially when you're talking with other scientists. Just people get excited about what they're passionate about, and sometimes that's motivation enough to be like, okay, this is worth it, I gotta get through. And of course, I can't ignore that my husband is just my biggest cheerleader. So sometimes when I'm having a rough day or I'm just super tired, he definitely gets me through a rough day for sure. Someone says, do you have class or just research? I had class for my first year and a half, and technically I still have a class right now going on, and it's my fourth semester of grad school, but it's just ethics class, so I don't really have any homework to do. It's just a two-hour discussion class. It's kind of like your first 2 years is a master's, primarily didactic learning, and then after that you take your qualifying exams where you write a proposal, a thesis proposal, and then you take an oral examination. Really crazy to think about that I'm a second year PhD student, but after qualifying exams, it's just research. Someone else said, any study tips? So one thing that I've been using recently is the Flora app. It's F-L-O-R-A, and I love it a lot. I actually posted it on my Instagram, or I'm actually gonna post it on my Instagram soon. It's just so cute. I just love flowers. I love anything cute. Honestly, if it's marketed the right way, I am a consumer. And basically, you have this little seed, and then you set a goal for yourself. It can be anywhere from like 10 minutes to hours. And then you set a break time for yourself. And it allows this little tree to grow, or a plant. It can be a flower or a tree or anything. And it allows it to grow. But if you exit out of that app and then you go into another app, you'll kill the tree. And you can actually put real money on it so that you lose money if you actually exit out of the app. To be honest, I'm not that risky, because sometimes I just forget that I have Flora running and I go into another app. Or sometimes I Google something that I'm reading about and then I forget that that also kills the tree. So anyway, highly recommend Flora. I also like to use Notion to kind of organize how I'm going to study for exams. I don't do that so much anymore, but I used to do it a lot, where I actually organized the types of study techniques I would use for each unit and each topic. So I can share that. I feel like that's kind of hard to explain over the podcast, but I think that would be something that would be cool on YouTube, to kind of like show how I organized my Notion in order to check off lists and see how I wanted to study for that unit. But yeah, I think that keeping myself accountable is one of the biggest things that have helped me stay focused for longer. I used to have such a higher mental toughness, I feel like, when it came to studying and staying focused for an extended period of time. But now I feel like sometimes I get distracted a little bit too easily. So I definitely like to lock my phone, or literally put it in a different room. All right. And then someone else said, how or why did you choose to go into the research field? So I actually did question my entire life after COVID. I applied to do my PhD, I think the end of my junior year of college, so that I would have been, oh no, that's a lie. Was it senior year? Okay, anyway, either way, it was the end of college. I applied to do my PhD, COVID happened, you know, all hell broke loose, and then I didn't get any responses on any of the applications that I applied for. But that being said, I also applied for my top, I think only my top three, because I literally was broke, and applications are 80 some dollars each sometimes, sometimes more. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go for it and apply for my top three. But I didn't even hear back, yes or no. So that was kind of frustrating, but it was also COVID. So some of the administration, I would call them and no one would answer. It was just like, it was so weird. So I just gave up on that, and then I went and did clinical trials in a phase one clinical research facility, and I still wanted to do research. I still love bench to bedside kind of translational research, and that's always what I've thought is interesting. The whole reason behind doing research is to take it bedside one day, and so I thought it would be cool to do clinical research, because you can actually see drugs in the phase one clinical trials after all this research has been done and they're testing it for the first time in healthy adults. So it was actually really cool. You sometimes had some funny stories just because these are brand new drugs that have never been tested before. And basically what I did was I collected the serum and the plasma from the participants and I just processed the samples. And this is kind of a long-winded way to respond to this, but basically I liked the way that I could read about the research that was done for producing these drugs, but I didn't like the clinical side and all the red tape around, you know, the participants. And I enjoyed dealing with interacting with people, but I did not enjoy dealing with all of the red tape that surrounds the IRB and doing clinical research. And so that definitely made me realize that I wanted to get my PhD because I needed that research experience, and I also wanted to go back to the bench. So then that's what made me realize, oh, I should go back and do some more academic research experience. All right. So my friend Amy, she also asked another question. I forgot to mention that Amy commented, but she said, any upcoming conferences? I'm very excited to have two upcoming conferences this year. I don't know if I want to say where they are yet, just in case, because I feel like when it comes to scientific conferences, like, I'm definitely going, but, you know, until I see that my abstract is accepted somewhere and, you know, I'm registered for it, I don't really want to say whether I'm going. But I'm definitely going most likely to two out of the country. So I'm very excited. I will be, I guess I can say for one of them, actually, no, I'll wait. Let me make it a little mysterious. Sorry, I'm being like those YouTubers that are like, I have really exciting things happening, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Yeah, I'm going to wait to say it until just like everything, make sure everything goes through and, you know, I'm registered correctly for everything. I don't know, in case anything bad happens. But I do have two upcoming conferences coming up out of country. I'm very excited. I think I'd love to share kind of tips about networking and stuff too. Once I obviously am not a pro at this at all, very new here, but I think eventually I would love to kind of share that, because I think that when I first started going to grad school, I was like, what is the big deal about conferences and networking, and what do you do, where do you go, who do you talk to? And I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit clearer to me now because I've gone to a conference and I have gone to a couple undergrad conferences to present, but I just feel like they're, you know, they're huge when you're in graduate school. But yeah, I'm very excited. I feel very lucky that my PI is willing to send me to conferences already too, because I know that a lot of people say that their PI either, you know, like can't spend the money for them to go, or he only wants them to have, you know, a certain amount of data, or they have to publish the paper, you know, whatever. So I'm very lucky and very excited to be going to conferences this year. Okay, so a couple of people asked, how's my research and what general topic is my research? So I am in the Department of Orthopedics because I actually study the interactions between whole body metabolism and bone metabolism. Kind of my project that I'll be looking at is the bioenergetics of bone cells and how they use energy. If you guys are STEM people, you probably are triggered by me saying the TCA cycle and glycolysis and fatty acid oxidation, which is kind of funny because when I did college, when I did biochem in college, never would I have thought that I would do anything related to glycolysis. I don't know. I just remember that being the bane of my existence because I was like, oh my gosh, do we have to do the TCA cycle for the 100th time? And I still don't remember it for the 101th time. And 101th, is that a word? Is that me making up a word again? 101st? Wow. Yeah. Don't tell people I'm a PhD student, guys. Anyway, I don't know why I just remember hating that unit in biochem, but it's just funny because it's literally my life now. So, but essentially a lot of our research is tailored for, you know, osteoporosis and future therapeutics for osteoporosis, just very general, big picture. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I never thought that I would be going into bone research, which is really funny. But then I've been doing some reflecting recently. As my lab-iversary is coming up, I've been doing some reflecting. And I realized that I always had an interest in nutrition. I always had an interest in kind of like physical therapy and like, I don't want to say orthopedics particularly, but I was thinking about being a nutritionist and a physical therapist on the clinical side, because obviously, like, I didn't realize that you could research this stuff. So for a while, I was like, oh, nutrition is cool. I love biology and chemistry, so I'll do biochemistry, and was still interested in nutrition for a while. And when I was, like, 5 years old, I wanted to be an archaeologist. So I was like, this is kind of funny, because at one point, I literally wanted to be an archaeologist, and I loved just like finding bones in the dirt, just really made me excited. And then I also thought that nutrition was cool. And I'm now looking at energy and how it relates to bone. I don't know. It's like, that is just kind of crazy that I was like looking back and thinking about that. I mean, again, I feel like what child didn't want to become an archaeologist when they were little? Like, is that a canon event, or is that just me thinking that all children were nerds like me? Like, I always wanted to be a scientist, so I always knew that I was going to be doing something in STEM. It was never about like, oh, do I want to be, you know, an artist? Do I want, well, actually, no, that's a lie. I did consider art seriously, but then I realized I was like, no, I suck too much. I never wanted to be like an English major or anything like that. I definitely think that in some ways there's a lot of parallels to what I'm researching and then what I used to love to learn about and just think that I would do when I grew up. So I don't know, kind of a cool little thing that I noticed. Amy also just put qual exams. I'm not sure. That wasn't really a question. She just says quals. Honestly, girl, I am hanging in there. That's all I gotta say. I have to write my 7-page proposal, and that is currently in the works, but this ain't just your double-spaced 7-page paper you'd write in undergrad, you know? Like, this takes some time. I have to make some figures. I submitted, like, a little draft of it to my mentor the other day. So I love that for me. I know it'll be good in the end, but it's just like, I don't think I was born to write, at least not right now. I don't think I have that much experience with scientific writing anyway. So I just think right now it's a bit of a struggle. I'm hoping that it'll get easier, and I'm sure it will. I feel like with practice, anything gets a bit easier, but it definitely is a bit of a struggle for me right now. I would rather be in the lab than writing a paper. But that being said, it's something I have to do. So I just got to tell myself to get through it. I'm supposed to take quals in April. But I keep hearing people say that that's unrealistic. And most of the time it gets pushed off till May. However, I have some travel plans booked for half of May. So this is going to be a little bit of an issue if it does get pushed off. Crossing my fingers that nothing gets pushed off and that everything will work out. Because if I'm out of the country and traveling for 2 weeks in May, I quite literally will not be able to take quals. So it's either going to be in April or it's going to be in June, I presume. Everyone cross their fingers that it'll be a good time and I won't be stressing about it. But yeah, it's quickly approaching. Honestly, February flew by, so I just am trying to keep my head down and keep studying and just tell myself that to take it one day at a time. I get so anxious just thinking about the fact that I'm going to have to stand in front of 6 PIs and just, actually more than that, I think it'll be 8 total. I'm going to have to just stand in front of 8 total PIs and try not to have a heart attack and faint in front of them. I know that if I prepare, I will pass. That is what everyone says. If you prepare well, and I'm definitely an over-preparer. I got to just hope and pray at this point that I will prepare well. But anyway, I'm going to end the Q&A on that. Thanks, you guys for joining today. I hope you liked this. It was super, today was really, really casual, unscripted. The only thing I had was questions. I don't know. I was feeling a little unhinged tonight, so I hope it doesn't sound annoying, and I hope I wasn't too much, but I just wanted to do something super casual. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys in my next episode.